Track 12 and our feature article. And this week's feature article is the one which should have been included last week. And it tells the story of the remarkable Angela Burdett Coutts, the unexpected heiress of the Victorian banking family, who spent decades sharing her wealth and knowledge in Britain and across the world. It's read for us by Liz, the regular TNF contributor.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello again, it's Liz and East Kilbride here. As some of you will maybe know, I like to shine a light on people who should be better known. So our choice today is Angela Burdett Coutts. Yes, indeed, of the banking family. Now, what a story. I'll try to give you just some aspects of her life. But please, please, I'm leaving things out. She was a very busy woman. She was a contemporary of Queen Victoria and, in fact, was described by Edward, Victoria's son, as the most remarkable woman in the kingdom after my mother. Well, he was keeping himself all right with the Queenie, I suppose. She was probably not expected to inherit the enormous wealth of her grandfather, who had founded the Coutts Bank. There is some suspicion it was some kind of dark family joke that many other members of the family, men of course, were overlooked. And then when she was only in her 20s and the old guy had died, the vast sums of money were given to Angela, who was an attractive young woman in her early 20s who suddenly became one of the richest women in England. Then followed many years where every man, it seemed at some days, would be knocking on her door because considered themselves as suitable husbands and the suitable men who would guide her in spending, saving, or otherwise using up the vast fortune. How much? We're talking millions and millions of pounds. Angela was having none of this. Her father had been a radical MP. From him, I think, she brought some of her social attitudes, certainly her love of animals, and above all, I think, a determination to make her own path in the world. Stage one was don't be married. She had a very loyal governess and then companion for over 50 years, one Hannah Brown. And again, the stories are that Hannah helped her to avoid some of these prospective husbands and delay the marriage, which wasn't really a top of her list. What was on her list was doing good. That seems a bit tame, in a Scottish phrase, a bit peely-wally. She was nothing of the sort. She was not just a lady bountiful. She was not just the woman sometimes called the queen of the poor. This was a smart woman determined to see where the money was going, to make it do the greatest good, to keep an eye on it, and above all, I think, to network with the people that she thought, both in Britain and abroad, would improve the world. I mean, where do I start? If we're looking at animals, Angela gave money to working donkeys, to establish drinking fountains for horses. She was president of the Beekeeping Association. She was very, very fond of dogs and gave money for helping them to be cared for better. Now, that leads to two aspects of her life. One is very Scottish. She was so touched by the loyalty of the famous wee Greyfriars Bobby that she gave the money for the statue, which is now the smallest and one of the most popular public statues in Edinburgh. And another aspect of her love of animals, she was right there at the first early committees, the ladies' committee, trying to establish help for animals. And that was the catalyst for what became the Association to Care for Animals, the RSPCA. Now, it wasn't just animals. It was people, people of all ages and of all social classes, and let's face it, of all social choices as well. She worked closely with Charles Dickens, no less, establishing a home for the fallen women of certain areas of London to bring them into a more respectable way of life, and funded Urania Cottage. She also worked with the children in London, gave money for the ragged schools, provided many thousands of meals during a London cholera epidemic. The bigger picture was they needed water, safe water. Here is Angela providing drinking fountains. She set up a new housing complex, trying to provide proper sanitation, fresh air and decent living accommodation right in the centre of London, which distressed her so much. And when people were sick, what did she want to do? Help them. She was the woman who gave initial funding for what became the world-famous Royal Marsden Hospital, a centre for cancer research and care known all over the world. She also made sure that people's employment could be retained wherever possible. Many of you will know the wonderful music from My Fair Lady and Eliza Doolittle, the flower seller. Well, Angela knew that world, and when the vagaries of the economic market were bringing a decline to the income of the flower sellers in London, she set up training schools for these girls to find more employment. It wasn't just children, perhaps in homes. There was this vast, vast issue of children being badly treated. And once again, Angela set up the committee, had her contacts in Parliament, her contacts in the upper echelons of society, and that was the founding status that she was in there that became the NSPCC. To such an extent that when Esther Ranson was asked to decide on a hero of Britain, she named our Angela Burdett Coutts. Now that's the British focus perhaps, but she was an internationally looking outward kind of person. When Florence Nightingale sent letters from the Crimean War, desperate for supplies and money, Angela sent them. She was profoundly distressed by the Irish potato famine, wanting to give money, to give supplies, to give hope. But more than that, let's look to the future. Let's look for alternative earning opportunities. She put a huge amount of money into trying to develop the fishing industry, especially in the area of Baltimore in Ireland. She was sometimes referred by the people there as the Queen of Baltimore. Even further afield, again, through these social contacts, she was a very close companion and advocate for the British way to be exported. Now, we might have many and definitely valid reservations about the empire, but Angela's way was to support people like David Livingstone, who was not an empire builder. He was far more an anti-slavery campaigner in Africa. So she gave money to Livingstone. She gave money to develop archaeology research in Palestine, thereby establishing some of the earliest excavations in that historic and indeed so troubled land. What more could I say about our Angela? Well, I haven't mentioned that she had bought many old masters. I haven't mentioned that she bought lifeboats. I haven't mentioned that she gave money to one Charles Babbage often seen as a very early pioneer of these thinking machines. Nowadays, we would call them computers. And I think perhaps one interesting aspect of Angela was she was not just an open checkbook. She made sure the money was needed, was used properly, and could do the greatest good. Now, when she lost Hannah Brown, her long-term companion, she took in as her secretary a young American, and the American was called William Bartlett. They worked closely together. They worked very well together. And hey-ho, what did our Angela do? She announced to the shocked members of Victorian society that Angela, the richest woman in England, planned to marry her secretary, William. Now, William was not only 40 years younger than Angela, he was an American. Could you get more scandalous? Because you see, in terms of Angela's will and inheritance, she would immediately lose 2/3 of her vast fortune if she married, in legal terms here, if she married an alien. That's a first. And she did. And she still kept the respect of many, and she kept plenty of money to keep doing her wonderful work. I think Angela was a surprise to people. That's an understatement. When this marriage became public, Queen Victoria was very aghast. She had thought Angela was a great gal. She had awarded her the title of Baroness in her own right. But she didn't take the Baroness title away, but she did remark that when she saw Angela, age 67, with her husband, aged 27, that Angela, she looks like his grandmother, said the Queen. The reports are that he went on to be an MP and that they had a very happy union. And after she passed away, he continued much of her charitable work. There is a rather macabre story concerning the death of Angela Burdett Coutts, by then so famous, so respected, so loved. The vast funeral was planned. A section of Westminster Abbey was put aside for her final resting place. This resting place was the size to take the urn of her ashes. The funeral took place, 30,000 people lined the streets, and when her body arrived at the Abbey, well, let's just say communications had been a bit befuddled because the funeral brought along the coffin. There was not space for the coffin, but they decided they couldn't stop such a public funeral, such a very grand event. So Angela Burdett Coutts, in her coffin, was buried in the Abbey upright. I hope that hasn't dimmed her glory in your eyes. Some of the words said about her are just she was a one-off, a force of nature. But you know, others say that she was a lady unknown. Well, we're doing our best with this wee insight into Angela to make her a little better known. And I hope once again you've enjoyed my look at the life of Angela Burdett Coutts. Take care. Bye-bye.
DNF Soundings.